Welcome to Conversations and Connections with HBA Canada, the podcast that gives you access to industry leaders and offers valuable insights for career growth. We will be bringing you monthly episodes that include interviews with influential leaders and HBA members from healthcare and the life sciences, where they will offer career insights and key lessons they've learned. We will also be bringing you discussions highlighting essential career topics like networking, mentorship, finance, and more. Our podcast gives HBA members a chance to learn and grow together in their careers and their personal lives. Be part of the conversation as we aim to achieve our goal of getting more women into leadership roles. So don't delay and join us. Welcome, listeners, to another enlightening episode of Conversations and Connections with HBA Canada, where we bring you access to industry leaders and offer invaluable insights for career growth. I am your host, Christina Bellier. Today, we delve into the fascinating world of navigating the unknown with curiosity, creativity, and evidence, a true science mindset. Joining us is Dr. Anne Mullen, a principal at Shift Health, who has been at the forefront of large strategic initiatives within the health research and innovation ecosystem in Canada and globally since 2009. In today's episode, we'll not only explore Dr. Mullen's impressive journey, but also unravel findings and recommendations of inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility, or IDEA, in the Canadian life sciences sector. This report leverages a survey of Canadian companies within life sciences and focus groups with equity-deserving working or training to shed light on the status of IDEA and actions that will help Canada's life science industry realize its full innovative potential. But what does this mean for the broader landscape of healthcare and innovation? And how can organizations like Shift Health, where Dr. Anne Mullen plays a pivotal role, seize these opportunities to drive meaningful change? Stay tuned as we uncover these critical questions and gain insights into how IDEA initiatives are reshaping the future of Canada's life sciences industry. So without further ado, let's dive into this enriching conversation with Dr. Anne Mullen. Anne, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Christina. It's great to be here.
I am so excited for this episode. And, you know, before we jump into these questions, we always begin with the why. So I wanted to give you the floor to talk about your background and why initiatives like IDEA are so important to you.
Absolutely. Thanks for the question. And maybe I'll just start with a little bit of my background. Mm-hmm. So I'm a scientist by training. I did my undergrad at McGill University in microbiology and immunology. I studied molecular biology in England at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. And from there, I went on to do my PhD at the University of Cambridge with a focus on molecular virology. And like I said, I'm trained as a scientist. So I did a postdoc, and that was at University of British Columbia. But I came to a point where I wanted to create additional opportunities for my career while still maintaining my passion for health research and the life sciences. So I came to the conclusion that an MBA would help me with that. And I did my MBA at the Ivy School of Business, which is at University of Western Ontario. And they had an MBA that allowed me to stay focused on the health sector in terms of strategy and finance. And so it was from there that I joined Shift Health. I've been working at Shift Health now for 15 years with clients across all sectors. So government, academia, industry, not-for-profit. And as you mentioned earlier, it's always about tackling complex, important, and very strategic questions. Shift Health is a strategy consulting firm, and we focus exclusively on the life sciences sector and those who are working in the health research and innovation ecosystem. As you probably would guess, based on my background, I'm very passionate about work in global health and infectious disease, but I work across all therapy areas, client types, and project challenges. So that's my background. In your opening remarks, you spoke a lot about IDEA or inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility. And I want to say at the outset, I'm not an IDEA expert. I've learned a lot, especially over the last several years, but we are a company that brings IDEA into how we operate, how we engage with the community, and to some extent, how we work with clients. And that is really important to me. And you asked about why. So strengthening these IDEA objectives is important for a couple of reasons. One, I know the sector has a lot of work to do, and I know that based on personal experience. I know that based on what I observe in the sector, and I know that from based on what I'm reading and learning. Mm-hmm. And the other point that I want to make is that the life sciences sector really tries to direct its efforts to benefit all, of humankind. And I think most people would agree with that. But yeah. That's broad. That's a really ambitious thing to go after. And I don't think we can do that if we don't have diverse voices and experience perspectives at the table. So to do the work that life sciences is intended to do, we really need to embrace diversity and inclusion.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I do what I do the podcast, volunteer at HVA. I think it's so important. I'm going to put a link, everyone. So if you want to see the IDEA report, I will have a link to where you can read it in the show notes as well. So kind of just going back to this IDEA report, how do you really envision the integration? I mean, I always sort of feel like you want to talk about, you know, diversity, inclusion, all of that stuff. But how do those principles really transform organizational performance?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, really at a granular level, there's a lot of published data about this. There are a lot of studies, there's a lot of conversations, and these have really established that businesses and organizations can benefit from embedding IDEA principles, and perhaps even more so if they're research intensive and life sciences sector organizations. Some of the things that we know is that diverse teams, and here you can think about boards, you can think about leadership teams, you can think about project teams, but when they're diverse, it is well demonstrated that diverse teams make better decisions than less diverse teams. And this benefits organizations, as you can easily imagine. Similarly, more diverse research teams have been shown to ask better questions, to generate more innovative findings. And I've even recently come across some data to suggest that they publish more frequently and can be cited more frequently. Although I think we have to balance that with our understanding of some of the systemic and structural barriers in the publication realm that may create barriers to that. And you were speaking a minute ago around clinical trials. There's also evidence that shows that diverse clinical research groups are often better equipped to address health disparities. You know, whether it's bringing thinking around a more appropriate, culturally sensitive approach to clinical care or to how to design and engage individuals in clinical trials. So really, for me, my vision is about people, though. And overall, when IDEA is successful, I think more people will know about STEM careers and STEM education. They'll be engaged in it. They'll be excited about it. And if they do choose to pursue life sciences through their education or their career pathway, they'll be able to bring their full selves to work. They'll be able to thrive and make their best contributions. And I think that's really my most foundational vision or IDEA in the life sciences.
And sort of what I'm hearing too is it really sort of starts before you enter the workforce. So what does that look like to make sure that, you know, people are either getting into STEM? Does that start sort of in the high schools and universities? What's your sort of thoughts on stemming it early as opposed to sort of waiting until we're in the workforce?
Yeah, I think the sooner the better. I think when people are exposed to careers in STEM, when they see representation of individuals who have already gone that pathway in STEM, they can more readily envision themselves as someone who might go that way. And even simply learning about STEM careers may not be accessible to everyone. And removing those barriers and building awareness in elementary school and beyond, I think will increase the talent pool of individuals who want to get involved in this space. And that can only benefit us by building more diverse teams and bringing the best people into the fold.
I agree. And I mean, this is why we do the podcast, is we're trying to give more platforms. And again, more awareness. But I love that it really needs to start early. And I kind of wanted to jump into just a few of the key findings, too. We're talking a lot about this. And again, it'll be linked in the show notes. But sort of for the listeners, give us one or two insights into sort of the current state, the implementation, and what they could read in the report and what their report's really, what we're hoping that report, the impact it would be.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe I'll just start with a little bit of a background on the report. You mentioned a few things off the top, but I guess I want to first acknowledge that it was a collaborative effort. So Shift Health provided a lot of leadership here, but we worked alongside Life Sciences Ontario And we were supported by Pfizer Canada and Admari Bioinnovation. So really grateful for that collaborative team. Our starting point for this study is that we knew many organizations were taking steps to embed IDEA in their cultures and practices, but we didn't really have a clear picture of what was being done. What were the challenges that were preventing progress? What are the biggest opportunities to do more? What were companies and organizations in the life sciences sector in Canada prioritizing? So what we did to get at this was we conducted a survey of life sciences organizations across Canada, and we supplemented it with focus groups with industry leaders, with capacity building organizations, and with individuals from equity deserving groups. So pulling that all together and getting at your original question was, you know, what did we discover? And I'll give you a few pieces and encourage our listeners to read the full report, hopefully, after. So I think the first major finding, and perhaps not a particularly surprising one, is that smaller organizations are at an earlier stage of their IDEA journey compared to larger organizations. Mm-hmm. Not surprising, because a smaller organization might have less time or fewer resources to dedicate to this work. But it's particularly important because in Canada, over 75% of life sciences companies are smaller in size. Another thing that we learned is that a fair few organizations have made progress in establishing workplace policies that are informed by IDEA. So whether that's modernizing a harassment policy, thinking through an equitable, fair, and progressive parental leave policy, other code of conduct aspects, a lot of people have done that work. But interestingly, in our conversations with individuals and equity deserving groups, it was initiatives that built community or fostered representation or created a culture of allyship that were regarded as most impactful. So, you know, that was an important discovery, I think, for us, where some of the most impactful work is for the people that we most want to see benefit. We also learned a little bit about barriers that organizations are facing as they try to advance IDEA and achieve success. And it boils down to capacity, so really the people, resources, the money, and knowledge as the starting point. I think there's a lot of hesitancy when it comes to advancing IDEA. There's some risk aversion. There's a fear of failure. It does feel high risk. You don't want to do harm if you make a mistake. Right. And then looking to the future, we see that stakeholders in the sector are really focused on talent. So building a diverse talent pool in their organizations and moving forward with inclusive recruitment practices that will enable it. And I think that's really encouraging and really important to our sector, which is primed for significant growth and really a need for the best talent to fuel this industry going forward.
And I was going to actually ask sort of, you know, the buy-in that you're seeing and the barriers, but you did mention some of the barriers were the resource, the money, and the knowledge. So if a company is up against those barriers, do you have any advice to say, here's where you can start small? How do we get around those? Because those are three pretty big barriers.
Yeah. And it's true. And I think, you know, as I mentioned, there's a lot of risk aversion. There's a sense that this is an enormous mountain to climb, and it is. But what I really think we need to do is prioritize it and make progress, even small, incremental, one foot in front of the other steps. Because in aggregate, it will lead to significant and measurable progress. Mm-hmm. So resources is really a major issue here. But I think there are some activities that are low cost or even free. And I mentioned earlier this notion of a policy review. And that's something that can be undertaken internally to review policies through an IDEA lens. I think it's nearly free to model decision making that embeds IDEA as an input or criteria. So if you're a leader, you're working with a group to make a decision, you know, lay out your criteria, which may be manifold, but let one of those criteria be IDEA. Demonstrate that that's important to how you think about strategic decisions in your organization. You can review a job description for inclusive language and ensure that as many who are reading it see themselves in that role as possible. You can deploy diverse recruiting teams and ensuring that you have a diverse panel of individuals making that decision and coming face to face with your potential recruits. So I think many of those things are low cost or even free. One other point that I would add is really about the value of a community of practice. And what I mean by a community of practice is a group of individuals who come together to share ideas, talk about lessons learned, discuss practices, and really anchor that in the mission to embed IDEA in organizations. Shift Health, for instance, has joined the Black North Initiative and participates regularly in a community of practice that's really focused on discussing ways in which to embed anti-racism in our organization. So it takes a little bit of time, but it is an enormous and nearly free learning experience that is out there.
And I think that's the key, right? It's just, it seems like a mountain, but it's just like start really small and just like small steps that, again, that take away that cost, like you said, and those were some really great examples. And I'm just thinking too, for people looking at the report, I mean, these are some really great recommendations. Were there other recommendations that are going to be in the report that are able to drive that meaningful change and thinking about the barriers? Give us some sort of insights. Is there any more recommendations that you would give based on that report?
Sure. So our report came forward with recommendations in four key areas. We focused on talent development, community and culture, knowledge building, and leadership. And to your earlier point, we recognize that a key audience for this are smaller organizations. So as much as possible, we tried to make our recommendations as practical, feasible, and affordable as possible.
Yeah.
But thinking across those four buckets, in my view, embedding IDEA in leadership is the most critical priority because it contributes to the tone, it contributes to culture and the priorities of an organization. So we had a few recommendations in our report around leadership that I think are worth chatting a little bit about here. So one is to embed IDEA in corporate strategy. That really is the better practice here. And where that's not possible, perhaps the strategy has already been set, you can develop an IDEA strategy that links to that corporate strategy, commit to some goals, however small they may be, and monitor them, and report back on them. So by extension, you're holding leaders accountable for those IDEA priorities. And you can also do that through a board or an oversight committee or an advisory committee that is mandated to monitor and support progress towards IDEA. I think we can also treat IDEA as a leadership competency, a capability that we expect all of our leadership to have, and to do that by providing ongoing training and knowledge building around emerging best practices. And I say ongoing because this is a moving space and we're constantly learning from mistakes and learning from better practices, and that information needs to be shared and integrated. And then finally, I would make the point again around representation and how important representation within leadership is. So consider the diversity of your organization's leadership team and approach recruiting to senior positions with a leadership, with an IDEA lens whenever you can.
I think this really sort of starts with the leadership. I'm sure that there's probably a lot of people that wouldn't mind volunteering within your own company, just to even throw that out to say, we want to create this group. Who would be interested? Because I'm sure that more hands than they would think will probably go up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Related to that, though, of course, is to recognize this as work. It's hard and it's challenging and it's very rewarding. But, you know, recognizing it, rewarding it, compensating it where possible is critically important to showing the prioritization of IDEA and the value of this work.
And I think along the same lines as work, if you're a company that's not doing this, what would you say to them are some of those outcomes by doing the work? This is the ROI that you're going to get, or what does that look like from your perspective?
You know, we spoke a little bit earlier about people. You know, this was really my anchoring vision for ideas, creating a space where people can do their best work. The sector benefits from rich talent. Better ideas are brought forward, better decisions are made. I mean, this is really the concept for me. But at a more practical level, when you create inclusive cultures, you are better able to attract people, retain people, and get the best work out of them. So I think by making IDEA a priority in an organization and taking steps towards embedding it in your culture and your practices and your identity as an organization, can have that kind of impact on your day-to-day and the productivity, the satisfaction, and the retention of folks in your company.
That's a nail in the head too, retention. I know that that's sort of been something that companies have been struggling with over the last couple of years with the great resignation. I'm doing air quotes, but that would be huge for companies, that's a fantastic ROI just on its own.
Absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, we know that the life sciences sector in Canada needs to grow over the coming years. We have enormous ambition for the innovative potential of this sector, and people will be central to achieving that.
Absolutely. It's been a decade of life sciences for me. Even in the last 10 years, I've seen a huge shift of the amount of women in a room, and not just women, but diversity in a room 10 years ago to now. Let's get your insights into what you've seen over the course of your career in life sciences, and if there's something that jumps out as an impact or an insight that's happened sort of over the course with some of these changes being implemented.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I feel like I have observed change in my own lifetime, my career span as well. I certainly see more women in rooms. I see more diversity in rooms. And I think the place where I'm most struck by diversity, whether it's there or not, is when I'm attending events, conferences, panels, talks. And I know organizations, we all know organizations, planners should be thinking about the diversity of their panels, of their speakers. And that's a kind of representation that I'm very much attuned to, and I know others are as well. And I think it's transforming the culture of those events, how they feel, how important different voices are, and it has a really meaningful impact, at least for me, in terms of those experiences.
Absolutely. And it is exciting to see the change, but like you said, there's still so much more that needs to get done. And this is just crucial where we need to go. But talk to me about why you think that we really need to focus on this. What is the impact of having a more diverse group for innovation? We put that out there, but in your perspective, what does that bring to the table when we open up to a diverse group in the life sciences?
Mm-hmm. I think I just come back to one of the points I tried to make towards the beginning of the conversation, is that when we have a more diverse group involved in health research and innovation, we can be more creative. We can bring in the perspectives and lived experiences of a wider range of individuals, and that can be considered and accounted for in the innovations, the technologies, the therapies, the diagnostics, et cetera, that we're building. And ultimately, that can translate, at least in the health domain, into better patient outcomes, better care, more accessible care. I think that's the line that we can draw from diversity to a broader community impact, never mind the benefits within an individual company for doing that more successfully.
You're a leader in the life sciences sector, and Shift Health is also clearly leading this in the life sciences and championing the IDEA initiatives. So how do you perceive the role as we get more of that buy-in, especially larger, smaller companies? How is that going to drive the sector-wide change?
Yeah, so our role, I think, that we've taken on when it comes to IDEA in our community is to really reflect on the skills that we have as an organization and bring them to bear in a lot of different ways, but when it comes to IDEA in our community. So as I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, we are not an organization focused on IDEA. We are not IDEA experts by training. We've learned a lot over the years, and we've taken a lot of action bit by bit to in aggregate, have really advanced a progressive culture and working environment at Shift Health. But when we look at what we can do more broadly for the community, we think about what are our strengths as consultants. Well, we're great at research. We're great at consultation and facilitation. We have a great network in the Canadian life sciences ecosystem. And so with that, we have an opportunity and maybe a responsibility to take action, bring folks together, use those skills to convene conversations about IDEA and shepherd action in this realm. So we've done that a little bit in some of our community initiatives. One is called Building an Inclusive Life Sciences Future. And through that, and with the guidance of a diverse steering committee, we have done exactly what I described. We brought stakeholders in this ecosystem together. We facilitated conversations about a shared vision for IDEA in the life sciences sector. And we're now working through these community-driven events to define an action plan, because really, IDEA is not much without action. So we're trying to shepherd that conversation and build that momentum. It takes time. As I mentioned, it's hard work, but this is the way that we're bringing our skills as a strategy consulting organization to bear on this topic in the sector. So that's one thing that we're doing. We also think a bit about the ways many other organizations with similar capabilities and perhaps experience in the idea arena can contribute and contribute in a way that benefits many other organizations. You know, we've talked about the importance of knowledge here, and one of the big knowledge pieces is understanding that an idea is important and valuable to a business or organization. So there's a case to be made for idea. And we've talked a lot in our conversation today already about some of the reasons why idea is important to people. There's an ethical argument here, but also why idea is important to businesses. So we can make the case for idea. It's been written down in many places, but we can share those resources. We can assemble tools and templates that can be useful for as a starting point. For example, earlier we talked about policy review. Like, let's share our templates for an equitable, fair, and progressive parental leave policy, for instance. And we spoke earlier about the Black North Initiative and other communities of practice. So leading or at least contributing in those community knowledge sharing mechanisms is another great way to benefit others and learn from others within our ecosystem. So those are places where we see a role for ourselves. And I will also mention that Shift Health is a boutique company. We're not huge. So these are things that we have been able to do with a relatively limited resource pool capacity and starting from an early point in our own journey.
So within a company, if there was someone that, or even someone maybe listening to this that said, we're not doing this or we're not doing much, where could they start? What recommendations or advice would you give them to start these initiatives within their company?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this report is a great resource for that. If I can toot my own horn in that way. And some of the components in the report that are useful are some of the evidence, including references on the benefits of IDEA to an organization and to Canada and to our communities, as well as some very practical recommendations and approaches that can be applied to taking some first steps. So, you know, it is a courageous move to be a first champion of IDEA within your organization. Mm-hmm. But starting by communicating the case for IDEA within your organization and recommending some initial feasible priorities for moving IDEA forward within that organization is an excellent first place to start.
And you mentioned that Shift Health was a boutique. Talk to me then about how did it start at Shift Health? Take us back to when you decided this is something we're going to be leaning into. We're going to be industry leaders on this. How did all of that come about?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to put a finger on it because I think it started somewhat organically with conversations at different tables within our company, an idea coming up as a criteria or a topic or a consideration, something we were tackling. But I think the place where I saw Shift Health take some of its first more concrete action around IDEA was around recruiting and talent development. And the first place that we looked was our recruiting practices. We wanted to ensure that we were being inclusive, fair, open, equitable. And some of the things that we did early on were to take a hard look at our job descriptions and ensure that we were putting forward requirements that were true requirements of the job, using inclusive language, and in time, putting an idea statement into our job descriptions. We took a look at how we moved through the recruiting process, and it can be highly biased and subjective. So we did we took a lot of steps to remove or minimize the bias. So for example, everybody involved in our recruiting teams moved through some unconscious bias training. Whenever we're having conversations about potential employees, we start the conversation by reminding ourselves of types of bias that can show up. And we assign an individual to be a bias monitor. So I'm listening for that type of thinking in our discussions. We have been very clear about defining a rubric for evaluation of interviews, of applicant assignments, and so on, so that we can be as objective as possible. And whenever we can, we also take a blinded approach to our evaluation. So recruiting, I think, was our first steps to being a more idea-infused organization. And it's grown from there, and with even more steps in the talent realm as well. We've recently undergone a compensation review so that we can build and take an eye to pay equity, and we can put forward a more transparent and predictable approach to compensation. And simply being transparent and predictable embeds equity in the approach as well, because then people know what they can expect when they are deviated, if there are any deviations from that, and they can plan their lives with knowledge about their future compensation potential. And a number of other initiatives over time and bit by bit, I think, have accumulated an array of actions that have really embedded IDEA in who we are as a company.
Oh, that's great. And I feel like starting with recruiting seems like a great place to start, really, because after hearing you sort of describe how you changed the recruiting, that's time and knowledge. But with all of the resources out there, I think that that's probably, I don't want to say an easy, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you were looking at doing this, that's maybe a small thing that you can start working on. How does that?
Yeah, it's, I believe it's very manageable. And actually in the report, one of the questions we put out to our survey recipients was, what are your next priorities? Where are you putting your effort? And I recall if I mentioned it earlier, but by and large, the most common answer was talent development and recruiting. So this is an area where a lot of organizations want to make progress. But one thing I will say is that it's one thing to recruit in an inclusive manner and build a diverse team. You also have to think about the culture that you're bringing people into, which also needs to be inclusive and receptive and welcoming. And so there are a lot of things that can be considered on that side. Some examples for Shift Health is, again, boutique company, not huge. We recently formed a women's resource group that meets on a monthly basis to share knowledge, have conversations, read articles, do events, and occasionally eat ice cream. And we also, my favorite event, we also acknowledge important cultural events throughout the year. We've been recognizing and celebrating Black History Month, including an internal event and game, actually, just the other day. So there are a lot of small mechanisms that can create a culture that's aware and attuned to diverse experiences and constantly learning. And I think that's an important way to show that IDEA is priority and to create an atmosphere where people may feel that they're more likely to belong.
But that's fantastic advice. And just start small, the culture, the recruitment. I mean, the recommendations even that you've given on the podcast, and again, audience, make sure to check out the report. It's going to be linked. But before we go, I wanted to give you the floor again. What advice do you want to leave the listeners with?
Yeah. Well, that's a tough one. That's the hot seat question. I hope, if anything, through this conversation, I've given a sense that I acknowledge the emotional and mental work that goes into being an idea-oriented organization, and that it's valued and that it's respected, and that even the smallest step has meaning and can build one upon the other to have a big impact. So I think, if anything, my advice is to take a step and to seek out others who are doing the same to support that journey.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I mean, this is really exciting. There's just so many ways that we can start forward to really create this change. I'm excited to see what the next, 5 to 10 years will bring, seeing the change that we already have so far.
Absolutely. And I'm sure we'll both be watching for that together.
Absolutely. I hope you've enjoyed today's discussion with Dr. Anne Mullen. I know that you've gained some valuable insights, HBA listeners. We encourage you to continue the conversation. Connect with us. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to stay updated on all future episodes. And until next time, stay curious, stay inspired, and keep pushing boundaries.